Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this weekend's edition. For all of you who have tuned in throughout the week, you probably have noticed that Chad is away this week, so it's going to be me leading the conversations, trying to make sense of what was a more volatile end to the week on the back of that Fed statement. And there's a lot of economic data out this week that simply continue to show a general slowing and weak U.S. economy. Now, of course, this data always up for interpretation in terms of what it means moving forward and how the markets will be impacted. We'll try to get to as much market moves as we can, as we are going to start off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, we talk about a wide range of sectors on our interviews, and first, I just want to quickly cover the broad averages. Now, we are recording this later in the day on Thursday. Thursday is a day of a lot of red on the screen for markets. It comes right after the Fed meeting, where the Fed, I guess, was a little more hawkish than investors were expecting. But one thing we need to consider is that markets were on pretty much a two-month-long run. It was almost every sector that was benefiting, and now we're seeing one of the bigger down days in the last couple months, even more than that two-month-long run. Dana, do you think, and I know it's just one day, but can we be calling an end to that bounce that we saw in the markets and now a change in direction back lower?
Yeah, I don't know that you can pinpoint it on one day, a change in trend, but we have definitely have seen, and we've talked about it over the last month or two, that, yeah, we were geared up for a rally. We've seen a rally for the last 2 months. It's been more or less one of those, two step forward, one step back type of a rally. So it's not like you just shove all your chips in there and let it run. You still have to manage risk within the range along the way, because charting, from a chart perspective, there's still a ton of resistance levels, still a ton of challenges from a price perspective to get through. So it's not like you just put it in and we're off to the races. You got to manage that. But at the same time, we've been talking about, even within the context of the rally, that, in our view, we're still in a bear market, and this is likely to be just another bear market rally. So even if there is more potential to the upside in the short term, that we do not expect it to be a sustainable or durable run, which is why we have been, more active in managing risk within the rally, taking some profits after spikes, like we saw the other day, after the CPI numbers spiked up, took some profits, which I actually wish we would have taken some more. But it's our model, our quantitative model, has been in a buy signal for about the last 2 months or so. But this, it's a buy signal that is likely to be a bear market rally like we've been talking about. So it's something where you have to continue to actively manage risk within that buy signal. So you can trade from a long bias, but certainly be ready to take some profits into bounces to resistance, or put on some hedges into resistance, or once some key levels are broken, which, we were substantially long coming into this week. Took some profits, also saw some key levels broken in the last couple of days. So we have put on some material hedges again, which is helping today to some extent. but again, it's just more descriptive of the current environment that we're in, more of a trading range than, you know, one of those all or nothing up or down moves.
No, really, if you just recap the trading this month, it's been a choppy month. That is after a over 1 month long run, about a 2 month long run for these markets. So argument maybe could be made that the markets are consolidating some of these gains. However, with all the negativity that I'm hearing, and quite frankly, the formation of the chart, which is still looking like a pretty distinct downtrend, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people are jumping too hard on that bullish narrative. Dana, have any of your models changed then? It sounds like you're not as bullish, but are the models still leaning bullish?
They are still leaning bullish, but like we talked about 2 weeks ago, you know, with some of the indicators, which a lot of them have to do with different breath metrics, money flow metrics, and really towards the end of October, those were screaming higher off of the lows. Certainly in the last 3 weeks or so, the momentum has waned extensively. Our model is still in a bullish posture, but several of the indicators have now turned negative within the model, and everything within the model is certainly losing momentum. So the model doesn't always turn on a dime. It's usually an intermediate term model, which we call it. Signals are usually 2 to 6 months long on average. So again, it doesn't turn on a dime, but we have seen some material weakening of that, of many of the indicators within the model, which is, again, if you're expecting a breakout and a run up towards, you know, the prior highs or the all-time highs, the action in our quantitative indicators would not necessarily back that up.
So I'm looking at a weekly chart here, and while this rally so far, I guess in the last couple of months, has gone on for longer than honestly any other dead cat bounce or bear market rally that we have seen has gone this year, but it's been, and I know I've been saying this all year, kind of orderly. Even in terms of this rebound, you look at some of the defined levels that a lot of technical traders were looking at. The market's reached pretty much up to those levels. You look at the general downtrend that we have been in all year. Well, the bounce, at least where it's petered out now, really has just hit the upper downtrend line. So we are just seeing another lower high as long as the markets roll over here. Dana, again, looking at the chart and understanding that this has been one of the longer rallies of the year, isn't it still just falling into this general bear market?
Yeah, and it's dealing with that downtrend line that everyone's looking at, which, like we've talked about in the past, when everyone's looking at it, then it has a tendency to not really work, or at least eventually it'll fail. So we've actually been looking, and one of our biggest position has been actually in the equal weight S&P 500, which more correlates better to our quantitative model. And it's been trading well ahead of the cap weighted S&P 500, and actually holding up quite well. Today, Thursday, as we're talking, It is starting to, for one of the first days we've seen in a while, kind of show some cracks, kind of start to underperform a little bit. So it's something that bears close monitoring. Again, I'm not ready to throw the flag on the flag in on this short-term rally. There is a potential to hold here and bounce again, make another stab at it. But we have seen definite waning in those bullish indicators that had us investing in a material way on the long side over the last, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months.
All right, Dana, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but I'm having you back on next segment, and we'll step a little bit away from just the broad averages and talk about a couple other sectors like energy, like commodities, and anything else that has caught your eye during this rally. And now, if this rally is over, what it all looks like heading into next year. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Payne Alliance.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. Back into the markets here, Dana. And I know that you try to ignore the noise, noise being economic data points, central bank meetings that do cause this kind of short-term volatility. But when we were chatting off mic, you did refer to a couple of these events where it did at least shift a little bit of your positioning. How are you balancing out just how volatile the markets can be on the back of data points and central bank meetings, and how, in all fairness, some of these meetings and data points have signified turns?
Yeah, oh well, a couple things. So, like we always tell our clients and subscribers, they try to ignore the noise, the any headline data points, Fed meetings, econ news, any exogenous market headlines. It's noise, except to the extent that it feeds into the market data, which is important to the price movement. So, again, we have our own quantitative models using market data that we think is important. And to the extent that, you know, these news events move the markets and move the needle within that data that we're looking at, then it's important. If it doesn't, then it's noise. At the same time, from a price perspective, though, we have seen, obviously, a lot of market moving events in the short term of late, whether it's a Fed meeting, inflation data, what have you. Obviously, that's going to move the market in the very short term. So the way we deal with that is, obviously, one day is not going to change, you know, an intermediate term model like ours. So the way we use it is to basically 99% of the time fade those moves. So if we're looking to lighten up, we're looking to sell some positions, and we get a big spike up on, you know, a Fed meeting or inflation news, then we'll use that up, take that opportunity to lighten up, or vice versa. We're looking to buy something, we get a big sell off like we're seeing today, then we'll take that opportunity to buy something that we've been looking for and waiting for good prices to do so. So that's basically how we use, you know, short-term price fluctuations based on, you know, exogenous events. But again, to the extent that it doesn't affect, you know, that market data that we think is important, then we do treat it basically just as a noise and try to ignore it, like you said.
Dan, any sectors or different markets that are standing out to you right now, considering the fact that, quite frankly, everything seems to be trading along this pattern where if the dollar's up, everything else is down. When the dollar's down, everything else is up.
Yeah, it's been like that. I don't know if that changes or not, but we have seen, like I mentioned, the best aspect to that, you know, post-October bounce that we've been in is has been the broad-based participation. You know, the broader averages, the equal weight averages, the smaller cap averages have been leading the way. So that's usually a good sign for potential further continuation of an up move. We're starting to see that lag, see that momentum wane, like I said earlier. So that is a concern, definitely a red flag. And we don't really have that many sectors out there that are really breaking out or that much ahead of the other sectors that you'd say, okay, at least there's something where you can put your money in that is going to be reliably in an uptrend. It's not you have marginally better sectors than others, you know, stuff like industrials and materials, financials to some extent, and energy certainly was leading the way before just very recently. But it's not to the point where, okay, it's, you know, you have things breaking out to all-time highs that might just continue to run higher. It's more or less very, very micro relative strength. So it's not something that, you know, is going to run higher necessarily if the bear market does, you know, reemerge and the broad market turns lower.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? A bear market can pull everything back lower, or at least way down markets that even are running higher. Dana, as we get to the end of the year, boy, oh boy, I hear a lot about people saying, well, this is where this certain sector was trading at the beginning of the year. Now it's setting up to maybe close the year in positive, maybe close the year in negative, or it's that much off of where we started. Everyone's making a comparison to the start of the year. Does this factor into anything, any of your models, any of your trading?
No. you have, you know, slight seasonal factors that are, you know, what we would call like a gentle influence to our decision making. So we are in a seasonally strong period, you know, especially as we close out the year and start the new year. Generally, that's a seasonally strong period. And we're also in, from the presidential cycle standpoint, we're in the strongest, you know, consecutive three quarters, historically speaking. But again, if you're in a macro environment or a technical environment that is substantially weak, or the momentum is to the downside, obviously that is going to trump any positive seasonality factors that might be, you know, at your back. So there is some seasonal strength here historically, besides that, you know, the year-to-date figures or the end of date, that's just basically an arbitrary date on the calendar for us. It doesn't mean anything more than, you know, a 12-month performance reading is on, you know, today on December 15th, for example, means very little to us.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I've been hearing that from more and more people as we've been ending this year. Dan, a quick comment on the energy sector. Oil did break to a low for the year just a couple trading days ago, and it dropped down to about that $70 level, just above $70. It has since rebounded, but boy, oh boy, there is a pretty defined downtrend here ever since the start of June. What's your take on oil heading into next year, or the energy complex broadly?
Yeah, broadly, commodities in general, as well as the energy complex and oil, we think is still in a downtrend. I think it's still, benefit of the doubt, is for new lows and to the downside. That said, we think from a long-term perspective, we are in a new or a young up cycle from a longer secular perspective. So I think there is more downside in the near term. Eventually, I think it'll be a buying opportunity. I just don't think we're there yet.
All right, Dana, always great chatting with you. Thank you very much for all the time you spent with us throughout this whole year. And I have to say, I've been very impressed with how you've traded this market, and your models seem to have been calling everything pretty much spot on throughout this bear market that really took some people by surprise, but quite frankly, has been around this whole year. Dana, thank you again for your time. I hope you have a very happy holidays, happy new year. We really appreciate all the time you spent with us.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
News update. 'Tis the season for viruses, including the flu.
According to new estimates from the Centers for Disease Control, there have been at least 13 million flu cases this year. 120,000 were bad enough to send people to hospitals, and 7,300 people have died. And that's not counting all the other respiratory illnesses of the past months. RSV, strep, COVID, and the common cold. One expert calls it unprecedented. Others say they think the nationwide outbreak is peaking, but some regions of the USA could still experience big waves of illness into early spring. I'm Richard Johnson.
Title 46 expiring on Wednesday, the U.S. Border Patrol preparing for an influx of illegal immigrants. If you don't want that present for your loved one to be late, best get to shipping it today with the regular ground service deadline today, December 17th. Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report in these final two segments. I'm stepping away a little bit from just simply covering what is undoubtedly that the moves after a Fed statement and those inflation numbers. We're going to look more into next year. It's what I've been doing a lot in this month, and what I do every year in December is look ahead to next year, get some projections for what the markets and the economy could be in for. I am chatting right now with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, the overlying consensus I get that I am hearing from a lot of our guests and reading in the mainstream media is that next year we are going to have the Fed and many other central banks pause at generally higher rates than we have seen for the last decade plus. Inflation, though, a lot of what I'm hearing, people are expecting it to remain somewhat elevated, not necessarily come down to the 2% or sub 2% levels, but it should stay away from some of those recent highs of 8-10% around the world. And then markets, well, markets need to figure out how this factors into investors' attitudes. They might very well be range-bound, sideways for a while as we get a little bit more clarity on when the Fed could pivot truly to cutting rates, if that even will happen next year. Jesse, what's your outlook in terms of these three main factors for next year?
Well, you know, it's really a guessing game. I think, you know, the first thing that I would just mention is that we are, and it's a word that's been way overused, but we're living through unprecedented times. It's really difficult to look back in history and compare what we've gone through in the last couple of years to anything in the past. We've had so much volatility in economic data, in inflation and all these things, but I do think there's a good likelihood the Fed gets to 5%, whether that means, you know, they do 50 basis points in, you know, early in the year, or do, you know, 225 basis point rate hikes. We're probably going to get to 5, and they should probably hold it there for a time just to make sure that the inflation's not going to run out of control. We've seen it, you know, peak a few months ago. Headline CPI, I'm referring to, and essentially been rolling over for the past few months. But if you look at the history of inflation and you just look back at the 1970s and the peaks in 73-74 and the peak, you know, into the 80s, even after inflation peaks, it takes time to come back down. And historically, you know, if we just look back at that period, you know, it suggests that we'll be lucky if we're below 5 by the end of next year on headline CPI. It just doesn't, once inflation really ramps up like that, it doesn't come back down very fast. My friends at Research Affiliates have done great work in this and shown that when inflation goes above 8% on average in a developed nation, it'll take a decade to get it back below 3. So I think, you know, the markets, if you look at break-evens or inflation swaps, any of these types of things, markets are pricing in a pretty rapid return to 2% inflation. And that's what's kind of priced in, I think, to markets generally in the stock market and all these things. If we don't go back to 2 by the middle of next year, which is essentially what's priced in, then, you know, we're going to have you know, a reappraisal of the situation, I think, in the markets. And that's probably what we're facing. I think right now investors are operating under the belief that inflation is going to go away. We're going to go back to this period of the past 15 years of really low interest rates, a Federal Reserve that could support asset prices and all of these things without consequence in terms of inflation. I think what we've seen in the last couple of years is a paradigm shift, and we're not going to go back to that, what we've seen, what people have gotten used to for the past 15 years. We've entered in a different investment environment that's unlike anything in the past 15, 20, 30 years maybe. So investors, I think it's going to take some time, but people are going to have to shift the way they look at markets, investments, and that's going to take some time. But I think we're going to start to really see that next year.
So, Jesse, when you say investors are really thinking that we're going to go back to those zero interest rates, easy money policies, are you talking more retail, or is it large financial institutions that also believe this?
I think it's both, but I think it's most obvious in retail. When you look at what's the most popular retail stock this year, it's Tesla. So investors are buying, you know, the favorites of the past 5-10 years, the stocks that did the best. And they think that because it's down 50%, 70%, that it's a bargain. Well, if we are operating in the same environment, if interest rates are going to go back to zero, if the Fed's going to go back to supporting asset prices, then maybe that's the case. But if inflation remains relatively elevated, that's going to prevent the Fed from being anywhere near as dovish as they've been in recent years, which means a lot of these stocks that have benefited from extreme experimental monetary policy are not going to be the winners of this new environment. And so I think, yeah, you see it most obviously on the retail side, but institutional investors too are still focused on, you know, the 60-40 portfolio. I mean, own stocks and bonds. And when you look at flows to commodities, you look at allocations to to commodities, and we're institutional investors are as underweight commodities as they've been at any time in the past decade plus. So nobody believes that we're in a secular bull market for commodities yet. Nobody has really shifted to allocating in that direction, and I think that's where we're headed.
Does that even ring true if we're stuck in a slow growth environment? Because in all fairness, even for the last decade plus, the Fed and other central banks were easy because growth was slow and inflation was low. What if we get slow growth with that generally higher inflation, but flat?
Well, I think you have to be very careful in defining slow growth. Are you talking about slow nominal growth like we've seen over the last, you know, since the financial crisis? Or are you talking about slow real growth, which is how we typically measure GDP? And I think you can get slow real growth and high nominal growth at the same time. And that's really essentially what stagflation is. You look back to the 70s, nominal GDP never fell below 5%. Even through those painful recessions in, you know, 73, 74, in the early 80s, nominal GDP growth never fell below 5%. I wouldn't call that slow growth. You know, it was slow in real terms because inflation was higher than 5. So I think if we are headed for a stagflationary environment, that means nominal growth could stay relatively strong, especially compared to what we've gotten used to in the past 10, 15 years. But if growth doesn't keep pace with inflation, right, then you can get recession. I mean, we saw that in the first half of this year where real GDP growth was negative. And so you could argue we're already in a stagflationary environment where nominal growth is still really strong, which, you know, it puts pressure on, you know, the labor market. It puts pressure on prices of commodities and goods and things. But because inflation is higher than growth, you're vulnerable to recession. And so I think, you know, that's probably what I would say we're facing, you know, more likely just because of what wages and things are doing is going to keep nominal growth probably relatively strong, but also keep inflation high. So I think if we're going to see next year a stagflationary environment, nominal growth, you know, will come down further. But if inflation remains elevated, then, you know, you're going to get that, you know, recession. You probably need unemployment to rise to some degree, too, which we're starting to see kind of on the white-collar side of things. Hourly workers and blue-collar stuff is still super tight, jobs market. But, you know, for a classical definition of recession, you probably need to see some weakness in the jobs market, too.
All right, we're at the end of this segment for all of you listening on the radio, but I'm having Jesse back on next segment. We're going to wrap up the show with more just broad comments on the markets, on the metals. If you do want to hear this full interview, you can tune into our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report, to listen to this full interview. Otherwise, stick around because Jesse and I are going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're chatting still with Jesse Felder. Now, Jesse, let's circle back to commodities. Because, look, there are some, let's call them old school commodities that have been around for a while. But unfortunately, those underlying stocks just don't seem to get the market valuations that, well, anything close to what tech stocks get, but also what some of these newer commodities or even some of these strategic metals that are gaining market share, I think simply because governments are more favorable to them. They are going to be nicer or provide the incentives that companies sometimes need to get bigger projects off the ground. Do you see a paradigm shift coming in the commodity sector as well?
Absolutely. It's astounding to me that institutional investors are shunning commodities in the way they are. I think that, you know, they say generals fight the last war, and investors do the very same thing. People are looking back and seeing a recession and go, okay, well, the last two we've seen are the pandemic recession and the great financial crisis. And what happened then was demand for commodities just, you know, fell off a cliff. And, you know, we've seen the oil price crash in 2014-15. We've seen commodities do nothing for a long period of time. But, you know, part of this idea of a paradigm shift is that we're no longer in this low nominal growth era. We're in a higher nominal growth. You know, it's driven by inflation, but that is, you know, essentially the ideal kind of environment for commodities is a higher nominal growth, whether it's, you know, good in real terms or not, doesn't really matter. And I think investors are going to have to begin to appreciate this when they look at what's working. It takes time. You know, investors, just like everybody else, we operate operate out of recency bias, and we look at what worked over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and we extrapolate that out indefinitely into the future and say, okay, well, the last 10 years, it made no sense to own commodities. And so it's not going to make sense over the next 10 years. But if you look at what are the factors that drive these things, it's really the capital cycle. And I think that might be the most important thing for investors. If you were just going to look at one thing, it's look at the capital cycle. Where has money flowed to in recent years? Because wherever money flows to, returns come down. The more money that flows there, the more returns come down. And vice versa. When a sector of the economy is starved of capital, returns go up. And that's just, you know, returns go up until they attract capital and returns come back down again. And so what we've seen in, you know, technology and a lot of these things funded by venture capital is so much money through SPACs and all these other things in VC in the last few years has gone to the tech sector that returns are now coming down dramatically. And they will for a number of years. This capital allocation cycle is a longer term thing. It operates on, you know, 5 to 10 year cycles. And the exact opposite thing has happened in commodities because returns have been so poor, they've been starved of capital for a long amount of time. And that's why we see investment in the supplies, in a new supply of all these commodities, you know, is really constrained now because capital has been scarce. And so investment and supply has gone way down. And so I think just from that standpoint, you look at that, you know, what's going to drive the commodities bull market, a commodities super cycle. It's going to be the fact that we've dramatically underinvested for years. Supplies are constrained and we're trying to pursue this green revolution, which is going to be very commodity intensive, right? I mean, the demand just for copper is going to be through the roof. And, you know, we haven't invested in these things in the way we need to. And that is going to be the fundamental primary driver of higher commodity prices for the next several years.
So, Jesse, one thing I've heard a lot about in the last couple of weeks coming from more of the precious metals community is that gold, even silver, are likely or could at least finish this year in positive territory. We all know that would be fairly noteworthy because it seems like everything else is kind of underwater this year. But does it really matter selecting that year-long time frame to say, oh, it finished in positive territory, that's a great sign?
You know, I it's not something I really pay attention to. I think I don't know. I mean, I'm no expert on the psychology of, you know, asset allocation. You know, people may look and say, wow, you know, gold had an okay year last year. Maybe I should allocate some to my portfolio. But really, it's just, you know, as my friend Helene Meisler likes to say, it's her pinned tweet on Twitter. There's nothing like price to change sentiment. And so really what will drive the gold price going forward is as it continues to rally, it will attract more interest. We're just not seeing that yet. And my friend Tom McClellan has pointed out, when you see the gold price reverse from a low to start, you know, rising again, and ETF investors are slow to embrace that, that's bullish. It's kind of the opposite of what we saw in August of 2020 when the gold price peaked, rolled over, and money was still flowing into the ETFs. It was, you know, people weren't paying attention to the trend. And, you know, as Tom suggests, this means the fact that, you know, gold prices are going up and investors aren't embracing yet means that the gold price is going to have to go up a lot before investors really begin to embrace it. And that's very positive for a sustainable uptrend in the gold price. I'd rather see investors kind of slow to embrace the trend rather than hop on it immediately, because that's a sign that sentiment's becoming too bullish. So people are still very skeptical. And this comes back to what we talked about in the beginning, which is if inflation's going to come back down to 2% or below, maybe there isn't a need to buy gold. And so that's kind of what markets are pricing in, what investors are operating under that assumption. But if inflation remains elevated, and I think history suggests that it probably will, then investors are going to have to really take another hard look at precious metals and realize, wait a second, what's the best way to protect myself in a stagflationary environment, in an environment where the Fed can't really raise rates too far because of a number of reasons, mainly because the debt is so big. We're at 120% debt to GDP versus 30% when Paul Volcker was doing his thing. So the Fed can't really do much more than they're doing, and if inflation doesn't come down, they have a real problem. And so how do I protect myself against that type of a concern, that type of a worry? You got to own precious metals. And that's probably the revelation that I think investors will come to over the next few months. If gold continues to power higher, investors are going to have to take notice and start allocating to it.
Now that brings up a question of, do investors even want to play defense? Investors seem to want outsized gains. They want to invest in stuff that's going to grow. When will we finally see a shift to where investors need to, or at least seem more willing to actually play defense?
Well, you know, it's funny because we talk about buying gold as playing defense in an inflationary environment. But before it's all said and done, you know, I think people will look at buying precious metals as playing offense. Look at, I want to play this bull market. I want to jump on this thing, just like they did with all the, you know, crazy meme stocks in, 2020 and 2021. People jumped on those things because they're, you know, using the to the moon emojis and all these kinds of things, and they thought price is just going to go on forever. Early in a bull market, it doesn't feel like that, right? That's what it feels like at the end of a bull market. And I think before this bull market in precious metals, which began in late 2015, early 2016, before this bull market is over, we're going to have that type of sentiment, that type of mindset. It's going to come when gold and silver prices are much, much higher than they are today. But investors are going to get to that point where they feel like they're playing offense, where they feel like that, you know, they're going to use the to the moon emojis. That's when we're going to know it's time to sell, but that's a long way off.
How high can gold go then? Because quite frankly, you're right. That's what investors are looking for. That to the moon shot. Gold has such a long history and has gone through huge appreciations. But over the last couple decades, well, it's been a little bit muted compared to some other sectors that have just screamed higher.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, just kind of an old school ratios. Just look at the Dow to gold ratio. In the past, we've seen parity, you know, between those, and I think that might be a reasonable thing to look at. I'm not very bullish on stocks, broadly speaking, especially constructed as they are in terms of being weighted towards sectors that aren't as attractive in this paradigm shift as you know, some of the underweighted sectors. But in a typical bear market, you know, major bear market, Dow loses 50%. And so, you know, you could, take your pick essentially of where you think the Dow is going to go. And if we do see a stagflationary environment that's very bullish for precious metals and the Fed's ability to rein in inflation is at some point hampered, you know, parity between the Dow and the gold price would not be surprising to me at all.
All right, Jesse, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for your time. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I'll chat with you in the new year. And everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. We'll be back next week in a shortened trading week right before Christmas. But please make sure you're visiting our website and podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert. Filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.